So as many of you know, that people give me suggestions for the Friday evening talks. It's got a whole heap of topics which people have asked me to talk about. So the one I'm going to talk about this evening is very appropriate. The one who actually asked for this talk asked for quite a few weeks ago. And the ones who haven't got their talk on the list yet, they have to wait a bit longer. This talk is appropriate to them too, because this is a talk on patience. And it's something which people ask me to talk about because it is something which is very important in your life. Impatience causes a lot of difficulties and problems in your life, in your relationships, in your own head. And the quality of patience was even praised by the Buddha. He said that patience is the highest of the spiritual qualities. In other words, they're very, very important, not just for your happiness in your life, but also for the progress towards enlightenment itself, to be very, very patient. And especially Buddhism is very strong on patience because we believe in rebirth in many lives. So you don't have to work that hard for enlightenment because you've got many, many lives. If you don't get it this lifetime, your next lifetime might be okay, or two or three down the track. Whatever you want in life, you don't have to rush when you realize you've got quite a few more lifetimes left. So that gives you an impression about how you can be patient in life. But more than that, it gives you an extension of what I was talking about last week. I talked about the relationship you have with whatever you're experiencing. And here, patience is that relationship you have with the journey in your life. It's an old saying, and it's very, very true. It's not the destination which is important, but the journey is more important than the destination. In fact, really, we don't have any destinations in life because whenever we get there, we want to go somewhere else. We're always journeying, journeying, journeying. You may have your goals in life, but as soon as you get your goal, then you want another goal. Sometimes I read that in newspapers. People come, all I want is, you know, this. Once I get this, I'll be happy. But of course, once you get that, you want something else. So there's never really a destination in life. It's always just a journey from one place to the next, and then keep on going and going and going and going. So when we realize that, it's not the goal which are important, but actually how we approach that goal. It's not what we want in life which is important, but the wanting and how we want, how we go about things. And this is where patience becomes so important. Because a lot of times, because of impatience, we actually mess up our journey. Instead of having a happy time, we end up just causing stress to ourselves and problems to other people. So there's an old saying, the journey of 1,000 miles starts with one step. But really, there's no such journey of 1,000 miles. It's 1,000,000 miles, 1,000,000,000 miles, uncountable miles is your journey. And it's really, we're not looking for the steps over there or the goals a long way in the distance. There's a step now which is the most important. How you're living your life in this moment, what you're doing now. If one gets that right, if one lives in a peaceful, patient, kind, loving, caring way, then everything you ever want in life will come your way. Because we're building up patience. Really what patience is actually looking upon how we're doing things rather than where we're trying to get to. Your patience sees the journey. Wanting and craving just sees the goal. So it's important to learn that patience. Of course, in our material, goal-driven society, so patience is usually forgotten. We want it now. We want it as soon as possible. Even actually the word, and whenever you see these letters, they haven't even got the time to write as soon as possible. They put ASAP. That's how impatient people are. So we want things straight away. And of course, that's messing up the whole journey. You know what life is like when people want it just immediately, and they want gratification immediately, they want wealth immediately, want you to do these things immediately. It causes so much stress and problems in life. And a lot of times we need to learn that patience. Very often, patience is the fastest way. Taking it slowly is the fastest way. Many, many occasions, I've learned this as a young monk. Many occasions I've taught this on retreats. I remember this one occasion where this monk who was staying with me in the early days in Thailand with Ajahn Chah. And Ajahn Chah said, "Yeah, well, I think we're going to send you to this monastery." And this monk said, "When?" He said, "Oh, I'm not quite sure yet," said Ajahn Chah. "I'll let you know." And the next evening he asked again, "When are you going to send me to this monastery?" "Oh, not quite sure. I'll let you know." And he went about 6 evenings in a row to ask Ajahn Chah. And he came and talked to me. He said, "I can't understand Ajahn Chah. Every time I ask him, he says, well, come tomorrow, then maybe I'll tell you." And it was obvious to me that Ajahn Chah was testing his patience. So the next day he never went to see Ajahn Chah. And the following day he told him when he was going to go. It was just a test of patience. We all want to know now. We want certainty. We want to achieve things now. As a monk, you were taught patience. If you wanted it now, you would never get it. Once you stop wanting it, then it will come to you. So we learn patience as an important part of our life. What patience is just, instead of grabbing onto the thing itself, we allow it to come to us. Too often in life we go chasing things. In meditation, we do nothing and it comes to us. You know, one of my favorite stories, don't know when the last time I told this here, but I tell this very often in meditation retreats, the story of the donkey and the carrot. My favorite story is how donkeys in southern Europe catch the carrot, because years ago, before they had motorized transport, they had donkey carts. And these donkey carts worked like this, had a donkey in front of a cart, but donkeys being stubborn, the only way you can make them move is to tie a stick on the cart, which ended about a foot in front of the donkey's head. On the end of a stick was a string, and on the end of the string was a carrot. And the idea was the donkey would see that carrot a foot or 18 inches in front of it and would move towards that carrot. However, no matter how fast that donkey went, the carrot would also go the same speed in front of it. That's the way that they made that donkey pull the cart. He went for that carrot but never quite reached it. It's like life, isn't it? Sometimes we're going after the carrot of happiness, the beautiful relationship, wealth, whatever you want in life. Sometimes the harder we struggle, that carrot is just a few inches in front of us. But we have the Buddhist donkey. And the Buddhist donkey knows how to catch carrots. And it all is about patience and letting go. Because how a Buddhist donkey catches that carrot, it starts running after that carrot as fast as it can. No matter how fast it goes, the carrot goes just the same speed in front of it. And it puts on a final spurt, faster than it's ever run before. The carrot is still going just as fast in front. But the Buddhist donkey knows how to stop and be patient. As soon as a Buddhist donkey stops, what happens? That carrot goes even further away. But now this is where patience comes to its important part. You're patient enough to allow that carrot to go a long way from you. In fact, that carrot goes further from the donkey than it's ever been before. Not just 1 foot or 1 foot 6, but 3 or 4 foot in front. But then, because the donkey's patient, the carrot goes to the top of its arc and then starts coming back. And soon that carrot is where it usually is, a foot and a half in front of the donkey's mouth. While at this time that carrot is not being still, that carrot is moving towards the donkey. And all the donkey needs to do is a little bit more patience. The donkey doesn't need to move. All it needs to do is, at the right moment, open its mouth, and the carrot comes into the mouth of the donkey. That's why we know patience. So often we've done the work. Now all we need to do is to stop and be patient and allow the carrot of happiness to come to us. Too often in life, we keep on interfering with things. We're not patient enough to allow things to happen. That is why, as human beings, we need to learn patience. There's a time for action and activity. That's the donkey running hell for leather after the carrot. And there's a time for stopping, for patience, and allowing things to happen. This is our life. And when we only know action, we don't know patience, then we'll never achieve much in our life. So here we have the importance of patience. But actually, how do we learn that patience? How we learn that patience is to have some trust. Some trust, some courage based on wisdom, that sometimes the right thing to do in life is to do nothing. To be still, to be at peace, to wait for things to happen. One of the other stories, one of my favourite stories, which shows the importance of patience. You've heard, many of you have heard this before, but it's an important story at this junction of this talk. This was a story of an old friend when I was a school teacher. This friend was in the British Army during the Second World War. He was on a patrol in Burma, he told me, when the small group of soldiers he was in had a scout. The scout came back to tell the captain that they'd blundered in to a whole lot of Japanese soldiers. It was a trap and they'd fallen into it. And they were completely surrounded by the enemy. And this was war. He thought he was about to be killed. He thought this was his last few moments. Like many people who don't know patience, they think, well, let's try and do something. Let's try and fight our way out. That was a soldierly thing to do, the manly thing to do. Even though you might not escape because you're heavily outnumbered, completely surrounded, at war with the Japanese. But he thought, well, at least we'll take some of the enemy with us into death. That's a proper thing to do. But the captain, the officer in charge, said, no, we will not try and fight our way out. Instead, he said, we'll all sit down and have a cup of tea. This is the story of the cup of tea when you're surrounded by the enemy with no escape. Even though it was the British Army who liked their tea, that was still a weird thing to do. And this man told me he thought his captain had been too long in the jungles. Because it happens, you know, that heat gets to your brain. He thought he was absolutely crazy. He'd lost his mind. Because really, if you were in that situation, surrounded by the enemy at war, heavily outnumbered, could you really think of having a cup of tea? That captain knew patience. And patience saved everybody's life. Because in the time it took to make that tea, the scout came back, whispered to the captain got all the soldiers together and said, the enemy has moved. There's a way out. We can escape. And they all did, which is why he could tell the story. They were patient. Because he was ordered to be patient, he could do it. But he learned from that experience the importance of doing nothing. When there's nothing to do, do nothing. We have to learn that patience. That saved his life. And he told me it saved his life on many occasions. When he had cancer, when he had problems with his marriage, when there's all sorts of terrible things happening in his life, which happens in our lives. Our lives have moments, days, sometimes months of crisis. And what do? Too often we fight. We don't know how to be still and be patient and allow life to change rather than making life change. One thing which you can be sure of that this life, always being in flux, we call it impermanence, is always changing. The situation is never the change. Never the same, sorry. However it is now, I'd guarantee it won't be the same. It will either get worse or it'll get better, but it won't be the same. So we know things are always changing. So if we can wait, sometimes is the best thing to do with patience, the world changes. And then we're ready. Because we're patient, we're also conserving our energies. We're not wasting our energies. Too often that when we're in crisis and difficulties, we just waste all of our time, our energies, our words, our efforts, struggling against things where we cannot be effective because we don't know how to be patient. We don't know how to leave things alone and let things change. We don't know how to let the carrot, which seems to be going away from us, eventually come to us. So we learn patience. And patience is one of those things which we learn by example in a monastery like ours. Sometimes we just sit there. Sometimes in the time when Ajahn Chah was alive, sometimes you start the talk in the evening. And you just carry on all night. You never knew when he was going to stop. Sometimes you never stop till 3-4 o'clock in the morning. That's how you learn patience. You never know what's going to happen. So instead of thinking, you know what it was really like, you think, when is he going to stop? He can't do this to me. I'm going to go and ring up Amnesty International and complain about this monk. He's torturing us. He's supposed to be compassionate. Why is he doing this to me? And then after a while, you realize that your problem was you're thinking, when is it going to stop? When is it going to stop? When can I go back to my hut and have a nice rest? You were looking at the goal, the destination. You weren't looking upon the journey. The journey is what's happening now. It didn't really matter when I was going to go back to my hut and have a rest. What was important was what I was doing now. And you learned how to be at peace with the moment. You don't know when you're going to go back to your hut. But now you can be at peace. Not make war with the experience of just sitting here hour after hour. Actually, hour after hour. What is hour after hour? The only moment you have is now. So when I concentrated on the part of the journey I was on rather than worrying about the goals, all the pain and the problems disappeared. You can just sit there completely at peace. No problem at all. Because you were patient. In the present moment, accepting, just being with, rather than hoping for something in the future. That's how we were trained. And because we were trained that way, that's how we can act now. Sometimes I go overseas quite a lot, and sometimes you have to wait in airports. Sometimes your plane is delayed. And sometimes you see people going crazy when their plane is delayed. Oh, I'm going to miss my appointments. I'm going to miss this and miss that. It's great when I miss my appointments. I can have a bit more peace. It's a great place to meditate in the airports. No one bothers you. Just sit there and do nothing, because sometimes they think I'm a bit weird under robes, or they think, you know, with all these robes, you don't know what you're hiding underneath there. You better keep clear of this guy. So it's wonderful. They leave you alone, which is very nice. So when you have patience, you're not worried about getting there on time, because it's a journey which is important. It's always strange whenever, this is aircraft stuff again, and flying overseas. You see that people, they just can't wait to get on that plane when it's about to embark. They can't wait to get on the plane. And, you know, when the plane reaches a destination, they all get up, you know, before the aircraft taxis to the terminal, and they open all their lockers because they want to get off quickly. And I just wait and let other people get on first of all, because I always got the seat there. No one's going to pinch the seat. And it doesn't matter if you get on first or you get on last. The aircraft gets to the terminal at the same time. I let everyone else get off first of all, but I've got no luggage, so when I get off, last of all, I just pass everyone waiting at the carousel. Bye-bye. And so they will rush around, but I always get out first of all. I say, why are people rushing for it? It makes no sense, doesn't it? But this is the thing, we've got no patience in life. And one of the reasons we've got no patience is because we're always running. We're always running away. That's why we can never stop. And what are we running away from? We're running away from this moment ourselves. We're running away from life. That's why we have these trainings. Instead of running away from the journey, we come to this moment of the journey. You right here, sitting here in this moment. Who cares how long this talk is going to go on for this evening? Who knows? I might lock all the doors. The point is that can we be patient and just enjoy these moments? Enjoy these moments. Enjoy the moments of now. Because who knows, we may be running off to somewhere in the future. And as soon as we, this is our life, isn't it? We want to get this out over and done with, to go home and just have something to eat or see a movie. And we want to get that movie out of the way so we can go to bed, and get the bed out of the way so we can get up in the morning and do the shopping. You end up getting your life out of the way. Many times that's people, but they're never really here. They're always looking upon the next thing, the next place they're going to go. Planning their holidays, planning their trips, planning what they're going to do next, but never really being here. Because we lost the art of being patient and just being here. So often in life, you'll be waiting. Enjoy waiting. It's a time to be present. That's why one of the great Buddhist symbols of the Western world. You know that in Asia you see these beautiful temples and they have these stupas, these reliquaries, which are a sign of a Buddhist influence in a country. We don't have much Buddhist statues in the public places of Perth, but we've got one Buddhist symbol, which you have hundreds of. We call those traffic lights. Traffic lights are the greatest Buddhist invention for the Western world. They're beautiful, they're wonderful. And why is that? Because they make you stop. They teach you patience. Because you're going, getting somewhere and the red traffic light comes, you can't move. You can't go anywhere. They're saying stop. Wouldn't it be wonderful if when your car stopped, you stopped too? What I mean by that is you come to a beautiful red traffic light. Your car has to stop. And you just patiently enjoy the present moment. Some years ago, coming up here for a Friday evening, there was a huge traffic jam on the Kwinana Freeway, just south of the Narrows Bridge. And we were stuck in that traffic jam, and people were getting upset and angry. I thought it's a wonderful place to get stuck in a traffic jam. You got the beautiful, you know, where the Swan and the Canning River meet together on one side, and you got sort of the golf course, the Royal Perth Golf Course in South Perth on the other. Beautiful views on either side. Well, if you're going to get stuck in a traffic jam, this is a wonderful place to get stuck. And so I was really enjoying it, and I was a bit disappointed when the traffic started to move again. They do like being patient. You can always enjoy these moments when you can't go forward and you can't go back, when there's nothing to do. The red traffic lights of life. You know that story I said? I've been to India a couple of times and been to Delhi. I heard this, but I've never seen it myself. I hope it's true. It should be true. It deserves to be true. And if it isn't true, we should talk to the Indian government to make it true, because they said that the traffic lights in India, in Delhi, they don't have the word stop on the traffic lights. When the traffic light turns to red, they got these words on the lights, R-E-L-A-X. Relax. Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if we did that in Perth? And all the red traffic lights, as soon as it said red, you had this big word come out, relax. I was reading the paper about this health crisis. It would solve the health crisis because people would actually relax. They wouldn't get all these terrible ailments. We wouldn't need to build more hospitals. Just put relax. I'll talk to Jeff Gallop about that next time I see him. So what we're actually saying here, you get a chance to be patient. Now, these are opportunities in your life. You know you can't do anything. You've got to stop. So why not enjoy those moments of stopping? Where are you trying to run to? Enjoy the journey. It's the time when you don't have to worry about the traffic. A time when you can just take your hands off the wheel, your hands off the steering wheel, and stop driving your life so fast. You're coming to a stop. where we learn how to appreciate those moments in life of stopping, of doing nothing. You can't do anything. You can't get anywhere. Then we know the importance of patience. We can give ourselves time. Too often, we have no time. Why is that? Because we never give ourselves time. We don't go around blaming others. This was a little interview this afternoon for the Sunday Times. You know, there was that TV program. I mentioned it at the end of the meditation there a few days ago about Buddhist monks being the happiest people in the world. And part of that is actually learning sort of how to be happy, how to be patient, how to let go, how to just enjoy the moment, how to be present. Too often we're running away from that present moment. We don't know how to embrace it. We don't know how to stop and be at peace now and again. And because we don't know how to stop and be patient, be at peace, that's why all our energies of life just get used up. When you get to the red traffic lights of life, times you can stop and be at peace. It's also a time of filling up the energies of your mind. It's stressful to drive. It's stressful to be at work. It's stressful to have relationships. Too much of life is stressful. Wouldn't it be wonderful to give yourself a break every now and again? That's what patience does. Gives you a break. You're giving yourself time. In that thing about happiness, because that was on the TV a few days ago this afternoon, a reporter came from the Sunday Times to do an article. They were asking me some of the secrets of happiness, and that was basically what I was talking about. Enjoying the moment. Giving yourself happiness. Because you can't go around blaming other people. You know what the Buddha said about, or what Ajahn Chah said about blaming other people or blaming life? You haven't got any time because of your family or because of your job or because of this and because of that. Don't go around blaming others. If you really wanted to, you can give yourself that time. It's up to you. Because the old Buddhist saying, Ajahn Chah's saying, blaming other people. You know that saying? When you blame other people for your problems, it's like having an itch on the head and scratching your bottom. That's going to be in the Sunday Times in a couple of weeks, because you like that. If you have an itch on your head and you scratch your bottom, then you end up with two itches, where there was only one. You don't get rid of the itch. And this is what we mean by blaming others. Now, of course, too often we blame others, don't we? It's our parents' fault that I'm like this. Or it's my husband's fault that I'm suffering. Or my wife's fault. Or it's my kid's fault. Or it's the monk's fault. It's somebody's fault. You try that, blaming others for your happiness or your sadness, whatever it is in your life. If you blame others, it's just the pain never goes away. Scratching your bottom when you've got an itch on your head. Please scratch in the right place. Take responsibility. If you're unhappy, it's because of you. If you're happy, you deserve it. It's because of you. It's taking responsibility. When you learn how to take responsibility, you can give yourself time rather than expecting someone else to give you time. Giving yourself time to do things. Being patient. It's the way it's done is important, not whether you achieve the goal or not. Not whether you get things done, because things are never done. We've been building our monastery in Serventine for 20 years now. And it's still not built. It never will be built. There's always something else to do. Have you done all your housework yet? How many years have you been doing housework? I just read the newspaper that people think they're going to retire, but Mr. Costello's got other ideas. You're going to keep on going. It's true. Even the people who say they retire, they keep on working. They keep on doing things. So when does it ever stop? It stops now, when you're patient. So we're not here to try and get things out of the way and done. We're not running. We're actually learning how to be patient. When we learn how to be patient, we can give ourselves time. When you give yourself time, you give yourself happiness. You give yourself peace. You give yourself fun. And isn't that really what you want in life? We're always running to try and get happiness. But when you find, when you stop, when you're patient, happiness comes to you. It was there all the time, but you were running away from it. You were going in the wrong direction. So in life, we can actually learn to be patient. And a lot of times we become much more successful that way. We're more successful because when someone's talking to us, we're patiently listening. Which means that we hear what's being said rather than rushing off to something else. When we're doing a job, we're doing it patiently rather than trying to get it done quickly. That's where we make all of the mistakes. What we're saying here is when you go slowly and carefully, you find you don't have to spend so much time fixing up the mess which comes about through rushing. I don't just mean the material mess, but the mess you make with your lives. Never having time for one another. Never really listening to one another. Never really caring for one another. Never giving time for one another. So what do you get done? All you get done is just divorces, separation, loneliness, stress, heart attacks, and all these terrible things of our life. Is that really what you're working for while you're doing all of this? You can get much more done when you're patient. You have more time. Because you spend less time going to see the psychiatrist, going to see the doctor, going to see the lawyer. That takes a lot of time. So when we're really patient, we can usually get more things done. Patience is the fastest way. That's why one of the great monks of our time, a monk called Thich Nhat Hanh, said, there's not much time. Therefore, we must go slowly. A beautiful little saying. There's not much time. Therefore, we must go slowly. Because usually if we think there's not much time, therefore we must rush. Have you tried that, rushing? And what happens? Do you get everything done? No, you just get stressed out, tired, you get angry. And all of the people who get angry at you is because they're rushing so fast. Try the other way. There's not much time. Therefore, go slowly. Well, he meant there, because there's not much time, you couldn't afford to make mistakes. You couldn't afford to upset people. You can't afford to have to waste all of that time just mending relationship problems, social problems, personal problems, which takes so much time. There's not much time. Please go carefully. If you've got lots and lots of time, you can make mistakes. You've got the time to fix it all up afterwards, but there's not much time. You've got to be efficient. So be patient, go slowly and go carefully. And that's the way that things are achieved. Again, one of my other lovely stories, favourite stories about patience. We always want to get things out of the way, but we forget that why we're doing these things anyway. Was a very famous monk in the south of Thailand. It was actually a monk called Ajahn Buddhadasa, who passed away some years ago. And he was building his main hall in his monastery. When it came to the rains retreat, even here, this year it's from August, September, October, that 3 months of the rainy season, when the monsoons come, all the building work stops and all the monks go off and do their meditation. So this big hall was left at the beginning of the rains retreat. He sent all the builders home. We don't want any noise in the monastery. Now's the time for meditation. And a couple of days after starting the rainy season retreat, a visitor came to his monastery, looked at this hall and asked this monk, when is your hall going to be finished? And this monk replied without missing a beat, the hall is finished. And the visitor said, what do you mean your hall is finished? There's not any windows. There's not even a roof there. There's cement bags all over the place. What do you mean your hall is finished? Are you crazy? You're going to leave it like that? And this monk, what he said, was very important. He said, what's done is finished. And then the monk went back to meditate. Beautiful attitude to life. What's done is finished. So when it gets time to come to the Buddhist center on a Friday night, doesn't matter if you've all the dishes are clean, just what's done is finished. Do it when you get home. Anyway, what's the point of cleaning the dishes? Then it get dirty again afterwards. But you can see the point there. We want to get everything out of the way. We want to get everything clean, everything done and finished with. And then we just get stressed out instead of just being patient. However, with that story, I've got to be very careful because I told that story here many years ago about what's done is finished. And on the following Sunday, there was a Sri Lankan man came to complain to me because what he said had happened on Saturday night, his son was going out to a party. And he asked his son, he said, "Son, have you finished your homework? You know, you promised to finish your homework before you go out to the party." And the son said, "As Ajahn Brahm said last night, Father, what's done is finished. See you tomorrow morning." And I got into big trouble because of that. But it's true. I mean, what's done is finished. That's how we can learn some patience in life. Otherwise, we're always trying to get things out of the way. And we're very impatient with others. We always want other people to get things out of the way. What's important in life? Things or people? I always tell this to my monks in Serpentine. So if the most important thing about the monastery in Serpentine is not the buildings, it's the people. They're more important. So when actually you get your priorities right, people are more important than things, that's when we can be patient. We can give people time. We can also give people time to change as well. We give people time to learn. We not have these great demands. You have to become a great meditator straight away. You don't give people demands. You have to get into jhana within 7 days. Be patient. Teaching that patience on meditation retreats is even more effective. When I teach retreats, I say it's not trying to get something that's important, it's trying to be at peace, which is important. Be patient. And so when people go on retreats with me, very often the first few days, they sleep. They pay all this money just to sleep. One lady, I was very proud of her, in one of the retreats I did in Sydney, she was coming from a very, very busy job in the CBD of Sydney. And I told her how you should be patient during your retreat. So she was sharing a room with three other ladies. You're supposed to get up at 4 o'clock, but when the bell went for 4 o'clock, that was just a sign to turn over on her other side and carry on sleeping. The breakfast was at 7, so 5 to 7, she crawled out of bed, had her breakfast, and after breakfast went back to bed again. And she did that for a couple of days. And during the interview, she told me that she was getting all of these vibes of anger from the other three ladies in the room because they were getting up at 4 o'clock and going to all the meditations and seeing this lady here which was sleeping all the time. And I said, "That's just jealousy. They just haven't got the courage, the guts to do what you're doing. Carry on." And I really praised her. And because she was patient, she needed to sleep, she was kind to herself, she realized what needs to be done at the moment. Who cares about making progress? Because of her gentleness, after 2 or 3 days, she got rid of her sleepiness. Then she, next 2 or 3 days, she caught up with the others. By the end of the retreat, she was the star of the meditation retreat. She got some very nice meditation. This is what I mean by patience. Take it slowly. Take it easy. Those people were going hell for leather to get somewhere. All they ever got was what we call samadhi headache, meditation headache. They just got all stressed and tight. And that's what happens in life as well. How many of you are just chasing the carrot so fast? And do you ever get that carrot? Isn't it time now and again to stop, to be patient, and allow the carrot to come to you? Try it out. When we actually learn and practice that patience, we notice how to wait and to enjoy waiting. We give ourselves that time. We give ourselves that break. And we can, once we can do that to ourselves, we can give other people time as well. We can be patient, say, with our children. Too often we all want our children to do well at school, to do well at university. We want them to become doctors or nurses or successful business people. All of you have got children. Is that what you want of your children? How many of you want your children, instead of becoming doctors, lawyers or businessmen, want them to become monks or nuns? So if you really want to become monks or nuns, when they start sort of being patient and doing nothing, you say, oh, wonderful son, you're doing nothing. Marvellous, you're just sitting there doing nothing. You become a great monk or a great nun. What we're really saying there is that sometimes that even as kids, we're not patient with them. We don't give them time. We don't give them time to grow. This story was told to me by my first meditation teacher when I was still a layperson. Because he told me that when he was, this was a Thai man, when he was a young boy, his father gave him some seeds to plant in the garden. And being a young boy, that's the first time he grew anything. He was so excited. He put the little seeds in the garden, dug them in, as he was told by his father, and would water them every day. And after a week, he started to lose his patience because he couldn't see anything happening. It's a waste of time. They're watering them and nothing was working. And his father patiently explained, look, the seeds are growing underneath the ground. They're probably germinating, but you can't see them because they're underneath the soil. Just wait a few more days, and you probably see the little shoots coming up. And the words of his father was enough for him to keep on watering, and sure enough, after a few more days, he saw these tiny little seeds coming up, or tiny little shoots coming up out of the ground. It was working. That made him even more excited. So he watered the little seedlings twice a day, in the morning and the evening. And after another week or two, they were about 2 inches high. And that's when he lost his patience. He decided to stretch them all to make them grow quicker. And he killed every one. You can't stretch plants. You just kill them. So stop trying to stretch your children to make them grow faster or become cleverer or to become sort of live up to your expectations. When you try and stretch your children, if you don't kill them, you kill your relationship with them. We have to learn how to grow. Our job is to protect, to nurture, to encourage, but not to force. The same with your relationship. Relationship is a growing as well with your partner in life. But you've got to do that patiently to allow each other to grow. If you force it with impatience, you never get anywhere. It's the same with actually getting on in life, getting wealth. We have to be patient. It takes a long time to build a monastery. It takes a long time to build a house. It takes a long time to build a life. Be patient. Little by little, one brick at a time, your house is built. But instead of looking at the whole house, all one needs to do is look at the brick one is laying now. One is building a relationship. Look at the words you're saying now to your partner. When you're building happiness inside of yourself, look at this moment, how you're treating yourself. Have each moment a moment of peace, a moment of kindness, a moment of gentleness. And then you know that you are looking after the beautiful seed inside of yourself. And be patient. It will happen. There is a simile in Buddhism told by the Buddha. He said it's like having a big water jar, taller than you. And you can see that drops of water are going into that water jar, but you don't know how much is in there, how full or how empty it is. But you're patient. All you can do is just add one more drop, and one more drop, and one more drop. Because you know, if you keep adding one more drop, that's all you can do. You know for sure that one day, who knows when, that water jar will be full. This was a simile for enlightenment. All you can do is one more act of peace, one more moment of kindness, one more intention of gentleness, and you're filling the water jar of enlightenment, of happiness, of peace. You're growing patiently. But sometimes people want to find out how much water's in the jar. So they take a hammer and break it. And the water jar never gets full that way. So this is actually where we need to have that courage, that trust, so we can be patient in our life and with others. And so because our Western world is very weak on patience, because we want things so quickly, even people come to our monastery. There was one person came on Thursday. Unfortunately, the fellow had emphysema. So he was having a hard time breathing. So he's waiting in his car. So I said, look, out of compassion, don't try and get out of your car. I pulled a chair, sat next to the car, and gave him some driving Buddhist advice. He didn't need to get out of his car and he could talk to a monk. We could make that a regular thing in our monastery. Just have a window and people can drive in their cars. And get advice. It's amazing how impatient people are and how they want things straight away. Even just this afternoon, somebody rang up and they were in such a mess. They said, can you give me some chanting? So just before the moment, the meal is today, holding the phone about 3 inches in front of my face, I did some Buddhist chanting over the phone. And that's what we call dial a monk service. And people haven't got the time to come to the monastery. They're so impatient. But at least you want to give time to others. If you give time to yourself, you can give time to others. And eventually you can fit everything in. And this is actually how we learn patience. At least be patient with the people you love and care for, your children, your parents, you know, your partner in life. Be patient enough to hear them out whenever they want to say something to you. I think each one of us has experienced that. We really want to say something to others, but the other one doesn't give us the time to say what we really need to say. And that's where relationships break down. So at the very, very least, be patient with the people who want to talk with you, who are very close to you in life. And even more than that, be patient with yourself. Give yourself time. Give yourself peace. And give yourself time to grow. Whatever problems you have in life, be patient. If you have, say, suffering from grief because of the loss of a loved one, be patient. Give yourself time to deal with the problem, to grow out of it. If we're trying to get out too quickly, we're trying to get rid of the problem, it lasts even longer than it should do. So be patient with yourself. Give yourself the gift of time out of care and out of love for yourself. This is what we really mean by patience. The gift of time. You can do that to others. You can do that to yourself. However, many people forget that. And they create so much problems and turmoil in their life. So, if one learns about patience, there's so much one can do in life, so much one can get achieved, and the most important thing, the journey becomes a happy one. They say that Buddhist monks are the happiest people in the world. Sometimes this is why. They're patient. They can give you time, and they give time to themselves. So that's the talk today on patience, and thank you for patiently listening. So has anyone got any questions on what I've said this evening on patience? Yes, come on, thank you. Okay, you're asking the question that sometimes in life, where it's people you're working for, they're very demanding, you have to get things done very quickly. But this is what I meant. If you have to, in that sort of pressure situation, sometimes going carefully, going slowly is the fastest way. I remember many years ago when we were starting our monastery, we had to do some explosives work to get rid of some rocks. And I remember the first piece of advice I was told by the explosive expert is that when explosion is about to be done, even if you're in trouble, do not run. It's when people run, they fall over, they break their legs, and that's when they really get into trouble. In bushfires, it's when people flee at the last moment. Going too fast is where the accidents happen.
They say in crises, going fast is where the problems begin. And that's, I think, many of you who've been in crisis situations, you know this is what happens. They say if there's an explosion happening, walk slowly. There's a bushfire, go carefully, don't run. That's where you get into trouble. And I think that goes for much of life as well. Because if you have to perform, you have to be very careful. We say in Buddhism, like mindful, alert. And if you're rushing, you make too many mistakes. You have to go back again and fix up those mistakes. You may get sort of a project done, but it's a really ratty old project which you've just done. But you haven't given it the time it's needed. So it's good. If you haven't got time, you've got to go slowly. You get the job done quicker. And also you don't get so stressed out. And other people don't get stressed out either. When there's stress, your performance level goes down. That's why you just make a mess of your job. Make sense? Be patient. Anyone got any other questions about patience? I'm giving you lots of time. Yes, Eddie. Patience, tolerance, and understanding. But remember, the patience is the first of those three. Yeah, they are common. But I think it all starts with patience, which is perhaps the most important. Because patience is giving us time. Time to be tolerant. And time to understand. It takes time to understand another person. You've got to give them time. You know what it's like when you have a relationship, when you get married. You really learn about the other person you're living with. You have to be patient with them to actually to learn and to tolerate all the sort of little things which they do. It takes time for that. So, and it's the same for tolerating yourself. Sometimes you have to be patient and understand yourself. I think that patience is the first bit. You give yourself time. And in that time is where you learn. I think really it should be patience, understanding, and tolerance. The tolerance comes through wisdom, learning how to be at peace with other people. Yes? Yes, very nice. And those of you heard that, the hurrier I go, the behinder I get. It's not good English, but it makes the but it makes the point. So try that when you go home this evening. Don't rush and see if you get there earlier. Yeah? How do you balance action and patience? When there's nothing to do, then you do nothing. When there's something to do, you go carefully. Give everything you've got. Full attention, full mindfulness. When you're at the traffic lights, a good example, there's no point for any action. You might go and shout at the traffic lights and try and use your will. Come on, turn green, turn green, turn green. But it doesn't, all you do is actually make yourself tense. So instead of actually fighting things, like I use a simile of traffic lights, because no matter what you think, no matter how much you shout, no matter how much you want those traffic lights to change, they're on automatic. And they're going to take their time, and whatever you do or think or say, whatever action is not going to help the situation, but only going to make things worse. That's where we're patient, when we can't do anything. And a lot of life, we can't do anything. The best is to be patient, leave things alone. When there's something to do, then we do it. A good example of that is my predecessor, Ajahn Chakro. He was the abbot of our monastery, the Western monastery in Thailand, when I was a young monk there for a couple of years. And one morning while we were having our meal, one of our disciples came in the middle of our meal. This is not really done. We wonder what she was doing this for. It was like against the Thai etiquette. And she came in and she was shouting and throwing her arms around because one of her best friend had been found that morning. She'd committed suicide and shot herself, and this lady had found her. And she came to tell the monks. This lady, Sutin, had shot herself that morning. And then I was really concerned. Someone's committed suicide. This is important. But I saw Ajahn Jaffa the other, he looked up to hear what she said, and then put his head down and carried on eating. He didn't pay any attention to one of his close disciples who had just killed herself. I was really figuring out, what's he doing? This is really weird. And this lady was shouting, look, Sutin's killed herself. She shot herself this morning. I found her. And this monk Ajahn Jaffa just carried on eating. And he didn't even listen to this lady. After about 5 minutes, the lady had calmed down. And then Ajahn Jaffa put his spoon down and interrupted his meal and said, what's happened? It's brilliant. Because she was so upset. She was so excited that if he'd have asked her, she wouldn't probably understood anything she was saying. He was patient enough to allow her to calm down and become still. And then he talked to her and gave her all the attention she needed. Very, very brilliant psychology and a brilliant way of dealing with a person who was very, very emotionally disturbed at that time. To be patient, it was a time to do nothing. He did that nothing, and when it was a time to speak, he interrupted his meal and he talked to her. And so that was a very, very effective way. Sometimes when there's a crisis, we become part of the crisis by running up and down, getting upset. Even when we had a big fire in our monastery, 12, 13 years ago, we had to abandon the monastery. We had to be patient. Because one of our Anagarikas at the time, don't ask me why he decided to do this at this time when we're about to flee. He decided to change his trousers. He was literally caught with his trousers down. And we had to wait for him as it was big fire in the monastery. He was running after our monastery vehicle, so putting up his trousers at the same time. If it can happen, it does happen. But we were told at the time, and I remember, just drive slowly. Even though it was fire, and it was a big bushfire, and it was dangerous. Because if you drive fast, you're going to crash. And when you crash, you've got no vehicle to get you out of the difficulties. And that happens. Ask anyone in the fire service. That's where the problems start. And people don't know how to go patiently in an emergency. I've seen people doing that in the greatest emergency, go so patiently. I remember one occasion there was where it's a bit of a, I'll tell a story anyway. There was a series of bus fires in Thailand. And it was in the newspapers. Many buses, because they were badly maintained, were bursting into flame. Some people were killed, and many people lost their belongings. And because it was in the news at this particular time, I was traveling on a bus, and sure enough, there was smoke coming from the back. So everybody sort of screamed at the driver to stop, and they all just crashed to try and get out of the bus. But that time, even though I knew some Thai, I wasn't actually all that fluent, so I didn't know what was going on. So I just sat there and wondered, what are they trying to get out of the bus for? So I just sat there patiently and calmly, and then one of the men found it was only just a cigarette butt. It started a bit of smoke. It wasn't serious. But then all the people, as they came back in the bus again, they were bowing down to me and saying, oh, you're such a brave monk. You're such a wonderful. You're so patient. And I never let on. I didn't know what was going on. It was really good fun. And sometimes that happens. So if you're... sometimes patience is because of stupidity. At least it worked anyway. But no, that's the important thing, actually, to know the time. Actually, to give everything you've got. But giving everything you've got doesn't always mean rushing. Giving everything you've got means being careful, being mindful. Sometimes it means being patient. It means giving yourself time and giving the job time, giving the moment time, giving it all the time that it needs. And that's all the time which you've got today. So I've given you an hour and an extra 4 minutes because this was a talk on patience. So thank you for listening today. I hope you enjoy.